Skip Heitzig points out that we're not merely just one more part of creation. Instead, we have a special relationship with God that goes beyond just creation and creator.
Okay, here's flowers and here's birds, and God provides for them. So, if God provides for them, your heavenly Father will provide for you. See, he's not their heavenly Father. He's their God. He's their creator. You never see a bird go, "Heavenly Father," because he's not. He's their God, but he's your heavenly Father. In the biosphere, God is the creator, made so many wonderful things, and birds sing, but he's your dad.
Make the connection at the foot of the cross. Study the word of God and find the way into his love. And take the time to read, for Jesus took the time to bleed for our sins.
Don't worry, be happy. While that popular Bobby McFerrin song may be upbeat, it doesn't offer any advice on how we should actually stop worrying. And today in The Connection, Skip Heitzig shares with us some practical advice on how we can reduce worry in our lives. You might even say, "Don't worry, be joyful," as part of a tune God would have us all hum in our hearts. But before we get to today's study, we wanted to take a moment and share one of the letters you, our listeners, sent to us. And this letter is from Frank in Brooklyn, New York. It says, "Dear Skip and Connection, I thank you and pray for God's blessings and grace in his Son's name and our Savior Jesus Christ. It's been a while, Skip, and I've been released to parole from incarceration. And during my transition, your address was misplaced. While I finally found a tape with your address on it, which is the Spirit's way of doing all things at his pace. Because of my relocation, I do not hear your missed programs that I used to listen to daily, and I don't know if the CDs of your sermons are available, but it's the one thing that I always want to hear. I couldn't get it for a while in prison, but if it's the Lord's will, I will now. I thank you for you brought me so much hope where there may have been little in troubled times." Well, Frank, be assured that we will get some CDs out to you of Skip's sermons here on The Connection. And thanks again for taking the time to write us. We love to hear from our listeners. And if you'd like to write us sometime, the address is The Connection, P.O. Box 95707, Albuquerque, New Mexico, 87199. You know, one thing that Mr. McFerrin's song got right is that worry is a choice. We can choose not to worry. But sometimes that choice is harder than others. Join us as we learn more in today's message, The Woeful World of Worry.
And make the connection at the foot of the cross. And study the word of God and find the way into his love. Make the connection.
If you'll open your Bibles once again to Matthew chapter 6, we'll join Skip Heitzig as he shares with us how we can reduce worry in our lives.
A man ran up to John Wesley once and said, "Your house burned down." Wesley said, "I don't have a house. The one I was living in belongs to the Lord Jesus Christ, and if it's burned down, it's one less thing for me to worry about." Wow. God is my master. He owns everything. It implies something else. If God is my master, he'll provide everything. You see, there was a relationship 2,000 years ago between slaves and owners. We think of slaves and we think of American slavery. I want you to go back and think of the times of the Romans and the Greeks. In those days, though a slave was owned by a master, the master was responsible to provide every need of the slave and his family. And would you notice in verse 25, the most basic needs are mentioned? What you eat, what you drink, and what you put on. All of those things masters had to provide for their slaves. God will provide for you. Now, I'll tell you this. You may not have steak and lobster for dinner every night of the week. It might not be gourmet. It might not be the best of the best. But I will guarantee you, none of you will starve to death this week. God will take care of you. And let me press it just a little further. Don't you think worrying is an insult to God? as the provider. It's like saying, you can't do it, can you? If he's the master, let him be the master. Did you hear about the worry wart? He worried so much that his friends made fun of him. Because everywhere he went, his face was scowling, his countenance was down, and his friends used to make him the laughingstock of all their jokes. So, one day, just as a joke, their friend said, hey, Fred, you know, you worry so much, you ought to just hire somebody to worry for you. Well, they saw him 2 weeks later, and Fred was smiling and whistling. They said, Fred, what's up? He said, well, I took your advice, and I hired somebody to worry for me. I'm not worried anymore. They said, you're kidding, right? No, serious, I'm not worried at all. Well, Fred, what are you paying this guy? I'm paying him $100,000 a year. Well, Fred, you don't even make $50,000 a year. How are you going to pay a guy $100,000 a year to worry for? He said, I don't know, that's his worry. You ever thought about it? Let God worry about you. If you belong to him anyway, if you're his property, it's his worry then, isn't it? I can't pay rent. Well, it's his worry. Oh, I got this problem. Well, let him worry about it. So God is your master implies God owns everything. God will provide everything. And it implies God controls everything. Because your master, listen carefully, your master is sovereign God. He's in control. He is sovereign God. Nothing will give you a greater sense of confidence than realizing that your master won't allow anything at all to come into your life unless he pre-approves it. Why did this happen to me? God approved it, that's why. He knows what you need, he allowed it, and he's letting you have it now. Acts chapter 12, you don't have to turn there, but let me remind you of a story. You know him well, his name is Peter. Peter's the guy that takes everything in control, right? He wants control of all things. In the garden, when they tried to arrest Jesus, he pulls out the sword and starts chopping ears off. Because he's going to be in control and defend God. But in Acts chapter 12, we see a different Peter. Peter's in prison, chained between two soldiers. The next day, he's going to face death. And you know what Peter's doing? Sleeping. I mean, he's really sawing logs. In fact, in Acts chapter 12, he's sleeping so soundly, it says, an angel of the Lord came in and struck Peter and said, get up. That's how sound the guy, he's snoring. You're going to die tomorrow, Peter. Why? Something changed. Peter has learned to cast all of his cares truly upon God because God, as his owner, master, cares for him. By the way, there's a corollary text to this that we just read. It's found in Philippians chapter 4. Another command is given and then reasons. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds. Did you hear what he said? Be anxious for nothing, but in everything with prayer and supplication. Everything? Everything. What does everything mean in Greek? It means everything. Everything. Well, this is such a little thing. I don't want to bother God. I'll wait till it becomes a real big thing. No, if you took all the little things to God, they wouldn't become big things. A woman came to G. Campbell Morgan, the great preacher from London, and she said, Dr. Morgan, do you think God minds if we bring even the little things before him? And in his characteristically classic British manner, he said, Madam, can you think of anything in your mind that is actually big to God? It's not at all big to him. So let God be the master. No man can serve two masters. Therefore, Jesus is saying, you got nothing to worry about. I'm your master. There's a second reason it's unnecessary. Because you're sons and God is your father. Sons and daughters. Sons, I mean generically. And God is your father. Look at verse 26. Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to his stature? So why do you worry about your clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I say to you that even Solomon, in all his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? What shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. I don't know if you notice this point that has been mentioned a couple times in our text. When he refers to flowers and birds, he talks about God. When he talks about your relationship to God, it's your heavenly Father. Okay, here's flowers and here's birds, and God provides for them. So if God provides for them, your heavenly Father will provide for you. See, he's not their heavenly Father. He's their God. He's their creator. You never see a bird go, heavenly Father, because he's not. He's their God, but he's your heavenly Father. In the biosphere, God is the creator, made so many wonderful things, and birds sing, but he's your dad. He's your heavenly Father. Romans chapter 8, Paul writes, he who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Heavenly Father never gave birds promises of everlasting life. The Heavenly Father never created birds in the image of God. The Heavenly Father never recreated birds in the image of Christ in a new birth. The Heavenly Father never made the kind of promises to them that he makes to us. So we have a relationship, which is the huge separation. We have a relationship. Like that poem said, the robin to the sparrow, I would really like to know why these anxious human beings rush about and worry so. Said the sparrow to the robin, friend, I think that it must be that they have no heavenly Father such as cares for you and me. So it's unnecessary, because God is the master and you're a servant, because God is the Father and you're his child. And there's a third reason, verse 33 and 34, because you're servants and God is the ruler. Now, before we get into that, I want you to notice two questions in verse 27 and 28 that make application to your life. Here's the first question. Which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit, that's 18 inches, to his stature? Can you imagine somebody short? I'm not going to pick on anybody. Saying, I wish I was taller, I wish I was taller. Well, will it help if you worry about it? Or as other translations render it, which of you, by worrying, could add one moment to his life? You know, we live in a culture that is making youth the god, the idol. Look and be youthful. Add a moment, a year, a month to your life. And so we worry about every sag and every wrinkle and youth. We want to preserve it. Why worry about it? You're going to lose eventually. We're all going to die unless the Lord comes back. And worrying about these things only makes it worse physically. Charles Mayo, founder of the Mayo Clinic, wrote, worry affects the circulation, the heart, the glands, the whole nervous system. I've never met a man or known a man to die of overwork, but I've known lots who have died from worry. So there's the first applicational question. Why do you do it? You can't add any height or length to your life. Second question, verse 28. So why do you worry about clothing? Good question. Ask yourself that question next time you're in the store. Why do you worry about clothing? He points to flowers. Flowers that have such a short lifespan. They bloom for 3 or 4 days over in Israel. The sun comes out. They're burned. They harvest them, throw them in the bread ovens to make kindling for their food. So it's a powerful argument. These flowers, as beautiful as they are temporary. You, on the other hand, are made for eternity. You're going to live forever. So if God does that to something so temporary, what are you worried about since you were made for eternity? Hey, test your memory. What were you worried about 1 year ago today? Well, I don't remember. Yeah, that's the point. God takes care of them, flowers. God takes care of them, birds. Your heavenly Father is going to take care of you. There's that third reason, and we close with it, because you're servants and God is your ruler. Verse 33, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Now, again, there's a little word here. Don't pass it over. The word but. It's a connective word. It's a word of contrast. It's as if Jesus is saying, rather than doing that, do this. Don't worry, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. We have now a partial solution to the stress, anxiety, and worry that piles up in our lives. What do? Instead of all of the energy going there, redirect your energy to the kingdom of God. I'll put it this way. Don't worry, work. Don't worry about your own kingdom. Work for his kingdom and let God add everything you need for your kingdom. Seek his and he'll give you what you need. Seek first the kingdom, and all these things will be added to you. Now, I say it's a partial solution because the other part of the mix is prayer and supplication. Philippians chapter 4, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds. I found something you might be interested in. It's called The Recipe for a Miserable Life. Ready? You want to know what it is? You want to know how to be miserable? I see. You say no. Well, let me read it to you, and you'll probably think, I know people who live there. Recipe for a miserable life. Think about yourself. Talk about yourself. Use I as often as possible. Mirror yourself continually in the opinions of others. Listen greedily to what people say about you. Expect to be appreciated. Be suspicious. Be jealous and envious. Be sensitive to slights. Never forgive a criticism. Trust nobody but yourself. Insist on consideration and respect. Demand agreement with your own views on everything. Good luck. Sulk if people are not grateful to you for favor shown to them. Never forget a service that you may have rendered. Be on the lookout for a good time for yourself. Shirk your duties if you can. Do as little as possible for others. Love yourself supremely and be selfish. You do that and you will be miserable. If, on the other hand, you seek first the kingdom of God, if you're saying, rather than worry, I'm going to work for God, you're going to find lots of joy, lots of excitement, and everything you need will be taken care of. That's what Jesus promises. I want to close by giving you a few tips for preventing anxiety. Just a few tips for preventing anxiety. Number one, cultivate an awareness of the presence of God. Cultivate an awareness of the presence of God. I know that you know God's everywhere all the time. He is. But learn to cultivate an awareness that he is. God's here right now in this trial, in this burden that I face. God's here. Number two, condition yourself to relax because God is Master, Father, and Ruler. If God is Master, Heavenly Father, Supreme Ruler, relax. Number three, replace your worry with specific prayer. Number one, in everything by prayer and supplication. I saw a plaque in an office. It said, why pray when you can worry? The Bible would say, why worry when you can pray? Number four, determine to obey God, no matter what. That's where you seek his kingdom first. I'm going to do what God wants no matter what I feel, no matter what I find out is his will. I'm going to do that first. And number five, and here's your homework assignment for this day, this week. Go take a walk and find some birds and look at them. And find some flowers and study them. Take a walk and look around and see if you can find worried birds, fretting flowers. Dr. George McCausland was his name. He was director of the YMCA, Western Pennsylvania, near Pittsburgh. Stressed out individual. Found himself working 85 hours a week because there were problems at the YMCA. Membership was going down. Finances were going down. He wasn't getting sleep. And he went in for counseling. And his counselor said, George, you're looking at a nervous breakdown if you don't somehow learn to give your problems to God. He didn't know how to do it, though. It was good advice, but he just couldn't do it. Well, George took a walk one afternoon with a pencil and a pad of paper, took a long walk out in the woods, and the longer he walked, he felt the stress leaving his shoulders. He felt more relaxed, and he sat down under a tree to write this letter to God. Dear God, I hereby resign as executive director of the universe. Signed, George. And he writes, wonder of wonders, God accepted my resignation. Can't you see God going, I've been waiting for you to do that for a long time. Last week I was in New York City and I looked up at that huge statue of Atlas holding the world on his shoulders. And I thought, I wouldn't want that job for all the money in the world. Too many people live like that. I got the world on my shoulders. Get rid of it. Right across the street, St. Patrick's Cathedral shows a picture of Jesus holding the world like this in his hand. That's how I want to live. You want to live like this or like this? Oh, but you don't know how big my world and my problems are. Yeah, but he does. So let him hold them.
Isn't it amazing that the same God that created all we behold is concerned with the small and sometimes petty concerns of our lives? Well, it's true, and that's why serving God as Master can bring so much freedom. He takes care of our needs, which frees us to serve him with all that we have. And our time for today is just about up. But before we go, we wanted to let you know about this month's special offer, which encourages us to be bold in our faith. The new Fresh Life Bible Study Series from Lenya Heitzik and Penny Rose. Here's Skip to tell you more.
Fear, anxiety, and worry can paralyze our spiritual lives. If you're looking for resources to give you practical, biblical steps to walk away from fear, then I want you to know about Live Fearlessly and Live Intimately. These are resources written by Penny Rose and my wife, Lenya. And these studies are designed for women to help develop a stronger, more intimate relationship with the Lord. Here's how you can order these biblical studies.
Your life is not moving any slower. From sunrise to sunset, you often go from somewhere between hectic and frantic. Your calendar is full, but your spiritual tank can get empty. You need fresh life. Take 20 minutes a day and begin the new Bible study, Live Fearlessly, from Lenya Heitzik and Penny Rose.
You can live fearlessly. Lenya Heitzik and Penny Rose take you down the path to freedom from fear in their new Bible study series through the book of Joshua. Take just 20 minutes a day with these studies, and you'll take steps to living fearlessly.
In 20 minutes a day, a lot can happen. Or if it's wasted, nothing can happen. But if you'll take 20 minutes a day and apply them to the new Live Fearlessly Bible study by Lenya Heitzik and Penny Rose, you'll begin to find a way to apply biblical principles of freedom from fear. And now you can get both books in the Fresh Life series for only $25. That's Live Fearlessly and Live Intimately for a special low price of $25 for both books. Or purchase each book separately for only $14.99 from the Connection Resource Center. Just call 1-800-922-1888 or you can order online at connectionradio.org.
You know, as much as we enjoy bringing you these teachings every day, the fact is we couldn't do it without your support. And that's why we always appreciate it when you can come alongside this ministry through your financial support. Part of the way you can do that is by sharing a little extra when you order a copy of these daily teachings or when you order our current series. Find out more about how you can support The Connection and order some helpful resources as well when you call us at 1-800-922-1888 or by visiting connectionradio.org.
And make the connection.
For some, being a critic is a job, like being a movie critic. And for some, being a critic is a hobby, like how many Christians always seem to find something to criticize. The question is, should Christians be critics? We'll find out next time here on The Connection, a presentation of Connection Communications.